Shall we read in Acts chapter 13? Mostly the verses that we'll read were the ones we read last week. But Acts chapter 13, reading at verse 22. Acts 13, verse 22. And when the Lord had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also the Lord gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now we turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll read verse 18. 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. Then answered one of the servants, this is one of the servants of Saul, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. It came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. We turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We read verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, because every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. And a final reading in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. And then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bones and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. The Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Last week, when we were looking, and I was speaking about David, we looked at David's early life. And as we looked at David's early life, we looked at the things that his father instructed him concerning a shepherd, and what a shepherd should be like, and what some of the things that a shepherd should know as he looked after the sheep. Then we looked at David's mother and some of the teachings that she would have impressed upon him. And these teachings that she impressed upon him were to last him his lifetime. And then, of course, then you think of this, that the Lord picked up, took those things concerning sheep and the skills that David learned and the spiritual things that David learned in the household, and blended them together and brought David to be a shepherd over God's people. David became a king, but the emphasis that God laid upon all his life is not so much David's position as a king over Israel, but as David's position as a shepherd over the people of God. when David, no doubt, was thinking about all the things that he had learned in his life and in the home of his parents, David could write in Psalm 16, and he could say this, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And he was thankful to God for the upbringing that he had. But you know, when you think of all the upbringing that David had in that home, and David obviously from a very early age showed an interest, a musical talent, to be able to play, but also to compose what we would call hymns. They would be hymns in those days. And he showed that early talent. And you know, although David was raised in that godly home, that was not enough to make him a child of God. Even though David had a godly heritage, there still needed to be a time in his life when he placed his trust in God. And this probably occurred when David was keeping the sheep on the fields outside of Bethlehem. There on those hills outside of Bethlehem, the dangers that he faced and the loneliness, and as he was there, there would be those quiet moments when he thought about God. And in Psalm 8, we read that David's recognition of the majesty of God. You think of that, and it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" And you see, as David looked upon that, he was impressed with the majesty and the glory of God. I think it spoke to him about his need of a Savior. And really, when David looked upon those things, he was really fulfilling the words from Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we read these things. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." And so, well, David could not see God, he could see the handiwork of God. And it impressed him, and it turned him to his God. But you know, I think of David's confession of faith. And we would really have to go to the Psalms that David wrote, where we would find how David confessed his faith. There's one psalm that is very familiar with perhaps most people in Canada and other countries. It's the 23rd Psalm. And you remember how it begins. "The Lord is my shepherd." I would take that as a confession of his faith. Faith in God. And you know, think of that psalm. And I'll just read through that psalm for you. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You'll notice that as you read through that psalm, that the psalm is a very optimistic psalm. It's looking forward to the future. And as he goes through the future, he's saying, "He will yet make me lie down in green pastures. He will lead me through the times of danger. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's optimistic. It's looking forward there. And David probably wrote this psalm while he was looking after the sheep. Perhaps, and I imagine in my mind that while he was looking after the sheep outside of Bethlehem, that he wrote this psalm. And in this psalm, he gives you some very powerful statements. But later on in David's life, he was tested in connection with every one of these statements. And you know, while at times he seemed to have forgotten these statements, there was always that return to God. Think of these statements. He says, I shall not want. What is he saying? I'll not want any other. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want anything else. No other gods before me. And David was tested on that. There came a time when David and his men went out against the Philistines, and they defeated the Philistines, and the Philistines fled. And we read in 2 Samuel 5 that when they fled, they left all their images of their gods behind. And there's David, and he's brought, and he sees all these images. David, will you adopt the gods of the Philistines? What did David say? I shall not want another. We read in 2 Samuel 5, David and his men burned all those images. They would not have any other gods. He stood, the Lord is my shepherd. But then we look in this and we find him, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. David, will you always lie down in green pastures? It's interesting that in David's life, when he went up to the cave of Adullam, and the prophet Gad came down to David, and he said, David, you are to go. And David was to go, and he was to dwell in the land of Judah, in the forests of Horeth. That's the green pastures, David, that God has told you to dwell in. And David was challenged on that. David, will you dwell where God has sent you? Sadly, we find David leaves that. And he goes down, and he dwells in Ziklag. It was a day of departure, a day of distress. Through David's life, that all that year that he dwelt in Ziklag, he was out of God's place. And it ended in disaster for him. He forgot. God said God would bring him into green pastures. Then he says, he restoreth my soul. And David was challenged. There were times when David's soul was in distress. And we read that, 1 Samuel chapter 30. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was restored. And then if we were to read Psalm 51, we will find that it's again, David's soul is restored. That fellowship with God is restored to him. Then he says, you'll lead me in the paths of righteousness. Always, David, will you walk in the paths of righteousness? What about that time, David, when you girded on your sword and you told all your men, put on your swords and we're going down and we're going to slay them. Came out a woman. She stopped them and directed them back to the paths of righteousness. See, David was challenged. Will you always follow the paths of righteousness, David? Then we read in that psalm and we read these words, through the valley of the shadow of death. Are you with me? David go through the valley of the shadow of death? Many times. Think of Goliath. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. Goliath was going to slay him. Chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. Saul took his spear and sought to slay David. David was going through the valley of the shadow of death. God was with him. God was preserving him. And then we come to 2 Samuel chapter 15, and we have, there's David's son. And he's out to slay David, and David's going through the valley of the shadow of death. His confidence is in God. But then if we look into 2 Samuel chapter 21, there's a Philistine giant. And he thought that for sure now he was going to slay David. And he even got so far as to stand over David, ready to slay him. But there was a deliverer sent. And God was with him through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I will dwell, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David's enemies. Did he eat amongst his enemies? Well, yes. We can read of the times when David sat at Saul's table. We can read of David going down to Gath. And he thought he might live in Gath. They cast him out. And David went up to Keilah to preserve and to deliver the people. And what happened? They betrayed him. He had been in the presence of his enemies. You see, so David was preserved. And this psalm, as you think of that psalm, and as the next time you read it, think, every statement that David made, God tested him on it. God allowed him to be tested. And you look at David, and he was a man of faith. He was a man after God's own heart. Because he sought God's will. And what marks a person after God's own heart? What would mark you as a person after God's own heart? Well, there are three things. First of all, there's faith. And if we were to go to Hebrews chapter 11, we read this. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is. That is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you marked by faith? Do you believe God? Or you could be a person after God's own heart. What else marked a person who would be after God's own heart? Obedience. Obedience to the word of God. What did the Lord say to his disciples? If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we have faith, obedience. And then there's a big one, attitude of heart. Attitude has a big telling in our spiritual life. What is your attitude towards spiritual things? Your attitude could determine whether you will be faithful to God or whether you will be faithful to yourself. And I think in Acts chapter 9, and I've been studying Acts, and so I've been enjoying this particular verse. In Acts chapter 9, we have the Apostle Paul. The very moment he was saved, his attitude changed. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the rest of Paul's life was centered upon those words. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was always seeking to please God. I would say that Paul as well was a man after God's own heart. You can be a person after God's own heart. I can be a person after God's own heart. Exercise of faith, obedience, and attitude. And you know, I was particularly impressed with a group of psalms. If you look at there are seven psalms from Psalm chapter 21 to Psalm 27, which each one has a different theme, and it speaks of a spiritual journey. In Psalm 21, the theme of that is seeking after life. Next Psalm, Psalm 22, is telling us that life, there is only life in the sacrifice of Calvary. Then we come to Psalm 23 and we find there we have a confession of salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. Then we come to Psalm 24 and we find in there, there is now an appreciation of sins forgiven. Psalm 25, there's a spiritual exercise. Show me thy way, O Lord. In Psalm 26, there's a life of consecration. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. There's that life of consecration. And Psalm 27, there's the joy of a life lived for God. So we have in those Psalms a story and an illustration of a spiritual journey. And you know, when David faced trials and enemies, he faced them because he had not only proved God as he cared for the sheep, but he had sought to maintain a close fellowship with his God. You see, David first proved God in the little things. And because he had proved God in the little things, he was able to face the big trials with confidence in his God. But you know, there were times when David left his father's house. He was far away. And some on leaving their home have not continued to live with the principles that their parents taught them. And I think of a tremendous example in the book of the Kings. It's a man called Joash. And it says of him that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest instructed him. He was brought up by Jehoiada. And then when Jehoiada died, he chose ungodly princes to be his friends. And they turned him to idolatry. And sadly, we read these words in 2 Chronicles that he slew the high priest. And as children of God, it is important that we choose our friends wisely. Joash chose ungodly friends. In Psalm 101, David writes about his standards of integrity. And he was very careful about the friends he chose. He says in that psalm, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. And David surrounded himself with godly men that they would guide him and support him. David's closest companion was a man called Benaiah. Now Benaiah, if you read about him, he was a great warrior. And he became David's chief bodyguard and the head and the leader of David's mighty men. But we read that Benaiah was a priest in Israel. And then as well we read that David chose as his advisors Abiathar and Zadok, the high priests. See, in the days of David there were two high priests. One of the Zadok of the family of Eleazar and Abiathar, the descendant of Ithamar, the sons of Aaron. But then as well we read that Benaiah had a son. He was also a priest. And David chose him to be one of his advisors. You see, David has his eye on the faithful in the land. And I read an interesting thing in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, and it says, that David chose Jonathan, his uncle, to be one of his advisors. And the interesting thing about this, it says of this man that he was a wise man and a scribe, which would suggest that he was a Levite. And David chose these godly men to be his closest advisors. You see, he has his eye upon the faithful of the land. Who have you chosen to be your friend? Are they godly men and women? Are they godly ones? Well, there's David's faith. His faith in God. But having a goodly heritage, a godly heritage, and having faith in God is not enough for a Christian pathway. It's enough. The faith in God is enough for heaven. But it's not enough to please God while you're on your Christian pathway. And so we can look through the Bible and we can find that David had spiritual desires. David had a desire, an ambition to please God. And really, David perhaps expressed his spiritual desires first on the hills as he cared for the sheep. Only God would have heard David's desires. They were between David and God. And God took him up on those desires. And really, if you were to look in Psalm 44, we read these words, God knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knew David's heart and what David had purposed. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the thoughts, even to give every man according to his desires and according to the fruit of his actions. David desired. David thought about pleasing God. But then God looked at his actions. David sought to please God. And God supported him in his thoughts. And so if we were to turn to Psalm chapter 132, we would read how David expressed these thoughts. David vowed, first of all, to restore the people's confidence in God. Remember how David went down to the valley of Elah? And the people had forgotten. They had lost their confidence in God. And David sought to restore that confidence. And then David, in verse 5 of Psalm 132, he desired to build a dwelling place for the Lord. And verse 6 of that psalm, it was his desire to restore the ark to its rightful place. What was the rightful place of the ark? In the midst of the people. Then in verse 7, he had that desire to worship in the Lord's presence. And many of his psalms speak of David's desire to worship the Lord in his presence. And then in verse 16 of that psalm, he had that desire to restore the priesthood. See, the priesthood had kind of fallen into disuse. The people didn't go up to the priests. And in many places, the priesthood was in disrespect. Throughout David's life, he had this desire that I might worship the Lord in the Lord's sanctuary. David's desire. And you know, there is an illustration of David's spiritual service given to us in Psalm 6. In 1 Samuel 16 and 20. We read these verses. Jesse sent his son David to the world of Saul, bread, wine, the kid of the goats. And you know, Saul's world was a place where self was on the throne. Is self on the throne in your life? Well, you know, if self is on the throne in your life, it will become a world of willfulness and disobedience. And it will lead to jealousy, strife, and intrigue. And so when David got down to the world of Saul, that's what he found. Jealousy, strife, intrigue. But David, going to the world of Saul, to Saul's presence, he brought the music, the joy of his father's house, to the world of Saul. And David went to the court of Saul, and for a while he served Saul. But soon he was cast aside as being only a minstrel. That's all he is. He's only good at playing music. And so we read that David went back to feeding the sheep, his father's sheep. But you know, when David stood before Saul, his whole demeanor, attitude, endeared him to Saul. And what was it that endeared him to Saul? Because if you'll read in that, you'll read it twice over. Stood before me. Stood before him. David stood before him with humility and confidence. Humility, he didn't take the place that that wasn't given to him. And so it almost appears that Saul didn't really take all that notice of him. Saul was attracted to him because of his demeanor. But David was there because he had confidence in his God. And David's spiritual desires had been encouraged by his father. And later by his own family down in the cave of Adullam. And so when we look at this bread and the wine and the kid of the goats, they were symbols not only of David's life, but also of the life of the Lord. And so in that bread, we can say that there was a life given for the well-being of God's people. And in that wine, there was a life poured out in service to God. And in the kid of the goats, there is a sacrifice unto the Lord. And we think of these. What motivated David all his life? The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. We read that verse when they were telling Saul about David. Finishes up with it. The Lord is with him. Because David had his eye upon the Lord. He was serving the Lord down in Saul's house. But then, very quickly, we look at the Lord's commendation. You know, the Lord looked at David, commended him. And you know, some men will make themselves great. And they'll say, I've done it. There is a song that is sometimes sung, and I sometimes hear it on the radio, and it says, I did it my way. Well, that's the way of the flesh. But David would not have said that. He did it God's way. And God made David great. God chose him. He trained him and fitted him for the throne of Israel. David began that training in obscurity on the hills outside of Bethlehem. It continued all his pathway. When Saul was seeking after him, seeking to slay him, and the Philistines went out to seek to slay him, God was training David for the day when David would sit on the throne. And all the times it was a continual wonder to David that God would have chosen him for this task. And David could say, Who am I, O Lord God, that thou hast chosen me? And we look at some of the things concerning him, and we find that God says to Samuel, Arise, anoint him. For this is he. And God was identifying himself with David. You think of this. Because of David's life to that moment, because of David's life, God's pleasure in him, God was not ashamed to call him mine. Anoint him. And we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that moment. And you know, when you look at this here, and you think of this, David's anointing, the oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it was poured upon David. And then that verse ends with the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that moment on. You come over into the New Testament and we find David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's baptized. The Spirit of God, like a dove, comes down and lights upon him. And later the Lord could say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me preach the gospel, to heal. You see, God had chosen him. God had identified himself with him so that there would be no mistaking. This is God's man. And Samuel would have known. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we read that the people say that thou shalt be a captain over Israel. God chose you, David, to be a captain. And what is a spiritual captain? In the Word of God. Well, what is one that leads and governs and cares for his followers? And he does this first by personal example and then by words of explanation and exhortation. And that was the Lord. In chapter 17 of John, the Lord says, I have manifested thy word. What's he saying? I have set an example to the people that thou hast given me. I have, by example, shown them the truth of thy word. Then we come down on further on in that John chapter 17. He says, I have given them thy word. And so we have in that verse that the Lord has taught them the word of God. And so by example and by voice, he has manifested to them. He has shown them thy word. David showed them and taught them the things of God. And I think again of the man of Gadara, and we read about him. And what do we read about him and the Lord telling him? He tells him, first of all, show what great things the Lord has done for thee by example. Set your example. Then he says, then tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. And then tell them. And so your telling and your example must be in fellowship. You've got to bring them together. And David, in his commendation from the Lord, he did this. He sought to manifest his faith in God, and he encouraged his men to believe in God. We didn't really get through David yet again, but our time is up, so we'll thank God for what he has shown us.